We keep tripping over sparse activation like it's some side detail, and it really isn't. It's under half the stories we talk about lately, Tyler. Which is kind of annoying, because it's one of those ideas that sounds fancy and then turns out to be weirdly practical.
Yeah, and the annoying part is that it hides in plain sight. People hear a giant model number and assume every parameter is grinding on every token, but a lot of these systems are built so only a small slice actually wakes up each time.
That's exactly why this deserves its own episode, because otherwise it's just us saying things like, oh, it's sparse, Rick, like that explains anything, and then moving on like monsters.
We do that a lot. Okay, let's make the picture stupidly simple. Imagine a giant library where every book exists, but for any one question, you only pull a few books off the shelf. Sparse activation is that move inside a neural network.
Right. And if you want the fuller version of what a neural network even is, we did a whole episode on that, episode 600-3-3. But the quick gloss is, it's a stack of learned math that turns inputs into outputs by passing signals through connected units.
Exactly. And one more thing before we get too far. An activation function is just the little rule that decides how strongly a unit responds. Think of it like a valve. It takes a raw number and turns it into something that can be passed along or mostly ignored.
Okay, so in the library picture, activation is which books actually get opened. Not every book in the building, just the ones that seem relevant. That already feels more sane than brute forcing the whole shelf.
And the key phrase here is conditional computation. That just means the model doesn't spend the same compute on every input. It makes a choice based on the input, then computes only the part it thinks matters.
So the condition is basically the input itself. That's the part that makes this feel like product logic to me, honestly. If the user asks one thing, you shouldn't run the full expensive path when a shorter path will do.
The network learns a routing rule, instead of every neuron or every submodule participating in every forward pass, it routes the input to a subset. That subset can be neurons, channels, or whole expert blocks depending on the design.
And the word forward pass there just means one trip through the model from input to output, right? Like one token, one pass, or one batch of tokens, depending on how you're running it.
Yeah. And the important contrast is with a dense network where basically everything contributes every time. Dense is simpler to think about, but sparse activation is how you try to get a huge model's capacity without paying huge compute on every single pass.
So the mental model is, the model has a giant toolbox, but it doesn't dump the whole toolbox on the table for every screw. It picks the wrench it wants and leaves the rest closed.
Right. And that selection is not handwritten in the serious versions. It's learned. That's what makes this useful, instead of just being a random pruning trick with a nicer suit on.
A random pruning trick in a nicer suit is such an exploring next take. Okay, but why does learned selection actually help? Why not just build a smaller, dense model and be done with it?
Because size and compute are not the same thing. Sparse activation decouples them. You can have a model with a huge total capacity, but only a small active slice per token. So the per token cost can stay closer to a much smaller model.
So the model is richer than it looks from the runtime bill. That's the bit I think people miss. They see the parameter count and think that's the whole story. But activation is where the bill gets paid.
Exactly. And the mechanism most people mean when they say this is some form of gating or routing. Gating is just a learned score that says, this part gets to run, this part doesn't.
Okay, that's the first real hinge. Because once you say learned score, I can picture a little internal traffic controller. Not magic, just a chooser.
Yeah, a traffic controller is good. The router looks at the input representation and decides which experts or neurons should get activated. Here. In the simplest version, it might pick the top highest scoring units, where K is just the number of winners it allows through.
Top K meaning the best few, not all of them. So if K is 2, only the 2 highest scoring things get to do work. That's the sparse part.
Right, and that hard selection is useful, but it's also where training gets annoying. If you make the choice too hard too early, the model can struggle to learn. If you make it too soft, you lose some of the sparsity advantage.
Wait, soft versus hard there matters a lot, doesn't it? Because if everything is kind of on, then you've built a fancy full-time system again.
Soft gating keeps some gradient signal flowing to more parts of the model, which can make optimization easier. Hard gating gives you cleaner compute savings. But now you have to deal with the fact that inactive parameters don't get updated on that pass.
So the model is learning a habit of attention, but the habit itself has to be trainable. That's the trade. You want the clean savings without making the thing impossible to teach.
Exactly. And this is where Mixture of Experts, or MOE, comes in as the cleanest concrete version. A Mixture of Experts model has multiple expert subnetworks sitting there, and a router sends each token to a small subset of them.
We've talked about MOE before in other contexts, but not as the whole point. Here the experts are basically specialist branches, right? One expert might be better at one pattern, another at another.
That's the idea. The experts can specialize because they don't all have to handle every input. So instead of one monolithic block trying to be good at everything, you get a bunch of narrower blocks and a router deciding who gets the call.
And this is where I start sounding annoyingly optimistic. But it really does feel product-shaped. If you can route work to the right specialist, you can make a system feel bigger than it is at runtime.
I mean, yes, but only if the routing actually works. Otherwise, you just created a very expensive pile of specialists and a confused receptionist.
A confused receptionist is exactly the right image. Okay, keep going. What is the receptionist actually looking at?
The hidden state, usually. That's the internal representation of the current token or example after earlier layers have processed it. The router takes that state and scores the experts, then picks a small subset according to the routing rule.
So the router isn't reading the raw text. It's reading the model's own internal summary of what it thinks is going on. That makes sense. It's choosing based on an interpretation, not the original string.
Yeah, and that choice can be token level, layer level, or something in between. Token level means each token can go to different experts. Layer level means the choice is made for a whole layer or module. The granularity matters because it changes both flexibility and overhead.
And overhead is the word I keep waiting for, because the whole promise sounds like free lunch until you ask where the lunch got cooked.
Right. The lunch is not free. Sparse activation saves compute inside the model, but routing itself costs something. You have to score candidates, move data around, and sometimes synchronize across devices.
Okay, so there's the catch. You're not eliminating work, you're moving work around. The question is whether the routing work is cheaper than just running everything dense.
Exactly. And in the good cases, it is. That's why the headline claim people like is that you can have a trillion total parameters with maybe a billion or so active per token. The total capacity is huge, but the active compute is much smaller.
That number is the kind of thing that makes product people sit up straight, because it means model size stops being a direct proxy for latency and cost, which is huge if you're the one paying the bill.
Jew, but I want to slow down on the word trillion, because people hear it and start hallucinating magic. The point is not that the model is literally thinking with a trillion things at once. The point is that the unused parameters are dormant for that input.
Dormant is a good word. They're still there, still part of the trained system, but they're not all firing for every query.
Right. And that's why this is different from pruning. Pruning removes weights permanently. Sparse activation keeps the weights, but only activates some of them dynamically based on the input.
So pruning is like throwing books out of the library, and sparse activation is like locking most of the bookshelves until you actually need them.
That's decent, yeah. And because the choice is dynamic, different inputs can wake up different parts of the model. That lets the network specialize without hard coding a single path for everything.
Which sounds a lot like the human becomes the interface. Except here, the input becomes the interface to the machine specialists. Okay, maybe I'm stretching the metaphor.
No, it works. The input is basically telling the router what kind of work is needed. And if the router has learned well, it routes similar inputs to similar experts, which is how specialization emerges.
Mm-hmm.
But the specialization only helps if the experts don't all get the same work. That's the load balancing problem. If one expert gets overloaded and the others sit idle, you lose the point of sparsity. Good, because you were one sentence away from branding it, and I would have had to leave the room.
Fine, Tyler, we'll save the branding for episode 674. I cannot believe this is how we're spending a Wednesday.